What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. What's up, Jack? Five straight.
Holy points, Nicholas. Holy points.
Holy points is right. 144-127. Win over the Hawks. Five straight wins for the Nets. I think this is the first time since like 2015 or 2013, something like that. Crazy that the Nets are playing so well right now. We saw an offensive explosion today, Jack. Just crazy to think this is our Nets.
Yeah, I mean, we are becoming a somewhat elite offensive team. I hark back on, you know, on a couple of podcasts and saying that for the Nets to be a playoff team, they're going to have to be top 10 in one of the areas. And, you know, early in the season, we had that sort of, we were in that top 10 range, playing very good offensive basketball. Then we had the 8-game losing streak. We dropped down a little bit. But, you know, the past few games, you know, defensively, I think it has fed us as well. I think that both things have worked quite well. But the offensive game and the way the ball is moving and the way the shots are being made and the ball movement is just a thing of beauty. And it's something that, you know, we're turning into a Houston Rockets type, and we're playing very modern, very aesthetically pleasing basketball.
Yeah, 100%. And 144 points will definitely boost you up in the offensive rating category. So I'm kind of interested to see where the Nets sit tomorrow. But like you said, also kind of similar to some of the good teams, now there's more than one good player that you're expecting to put up points. You know, the last two games it was Dinwiddie. Tonight, D'Angelo Russell, 32 points, 13 and 19 from the field, 7 assists, very controlled, probably one of his best games ever as a Net.
What made it his best game ever as a Net, Nicholas? The stat line is very balanced, you know, no turnovers, couple of steals. It seems like he was just able to read what the game was giving him, as we sort of said about him as criticisms before, and sort of just be able to make an impact on all facets.
Yeah, he was just like completely in flow. Everything was in sync. You saw a little extra energy and engagement from him offensively and defensively. I know Kenny after the game praised him for his engagement defensively. Those two steals, he was just in there poking out loose balls and kind of just the hustle plays we were talking about in the previous show. We saw that today. There was also a couple plays where in the past he probably would have put up a shot or tried to force a layup. Instead, he made the extra pass. One play really stuck out. It was after a steal or some type of loose ball. He was on a 2-on-1 fast break. He could have easily kind of forced a layup, but instead he threw a bounce pass to Ed Davis. He scored on the layup. So it was just like, I don't know. It just seemed like he finally got it today. Like, it just, he really looked like a true point guard. And then the scoring was just out of the world, you know, out of this world.
Do you think the Nets need to invite Antonio Griezmann to every home game these days now?
You need to hit him up with some season tickets.
True that, yeah.
I think it did help him maybe, like, seeing somebody he really likes as, you know, he was a soccer player, if I'm correct, and like got him going. So I think maybe that is something that kind of motivated him, but he just was locked in. It just, like, I don't know. Everything seemed to click on all aspects of the game for him today.
Does this game give you hope going forward, Nicholas? Obviously, we chatted about with Matt and we've chatted about with Brian before about, you know, our issues with D'Angelo. And obviously, you know, Spencer got his payday. So, you know, D'Angelo is obviously the natural sort of topic point when you sort of, you know, process of elimination. Does this give you confidence going forward, or is this sort of a blip in the radar to play devil's advocate on the other side?
You know, it's easily you could say it was just like another flash that we've seen, but this was probably, like I said, one of his best games. And I thought even if he didn't put up 32 points, I would have still thought it was a great game because of some of the extra efforts we saw defensively, going for a couple rebounds out there. I just felt like he was in control and he understood what he needed to do. Obviously, it was against the Hawks, and that, you know, plays a factor in this because they're not very good defensively. They're terrible. Another thing that stuck out in this game, he felt comfortable taking advantage of his size. You saw him do it against Trae Young. You saw him do it against Jeremy Lin. Taking advantage of that size, you know, I think if he puts on some more weight, that could be something he could add to his game.
So how happy were you to see Caris LeVert on the bench?
I was super happy to see Caris LeVert. I was also surprised because he cut his hair. So that kind of caught me off guard. I was, you know, digging the look before, but it's very nice to see him out there. No boot or anything. So when they get him back, they'll have Spencer Dinwiddie, they'll have D'Lo, they'll have LeVert, all guys that can easily put up 25, 30 plus points in a night. And if you got two of the guys cooking, you're looking like a good shape for a W.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Nets are only going to add talent going forward. And, you know, we see the development. You know, Joe Harris is absolutely lethal. Alan Crabb on his
very good game for Joe Harris. Like, I want to say, Jack, I know you didn't get to watch it yet, but you're going to love it because he looks super confident. And, you know, he cooked a former Net, Vince Carter. Every time he had Vince on him, he felt confident driving to the rim. Even one shot, he just pulled up and shot a three in his eye.
Looking at it right now, 4 of 7 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3-point land, 5 of 6 from the free throws, and 6 assists as well. I mean, anything Joe Harris does, I always love. I mentioned on JBT as well. He's my favorite Harris in the league. You know, sorry Tobias and sorry Gary, but yeah, it's just I know what I'm going to get from Joe Harris, and I think he is just anything that he does. It's just very composed, very poised. But also, you know, he provides energy, not in a way that's like, you know, sort of Rodion's and that it's infectious, but it's a steadying sort of force. So I'm happy to see that from Joe Harris. Any other shout outs?
With Jared Allen today too, a couple assists that led to some easy Allen dunks.
Yeah, I've seen that a little bit of late from Joe because he attacks so well in terms of being able to drive and hit the rim with some force and use his sort of, you know, a body to sort of give him that elevation. But he's reading it quite well as now. And obviously those 6 assists, I think that those sort of little dink or dumpers, you know, those mini passes, whatever you want to call them, you know, we saw plenty of them from Karras last season, but Karras obviously did them the sort of wraparound passes. But I think Joe Harris does those sneaky little passes. I know Rondé's done a few of them. Jared Dudley's done a few of them. I think that because it's we attack the rim with such ferocity and we attack so relentlessly, there are going to be some easy assists down there if our players do have the awareness. But also, it can be a dangerous pass because if the opposing team gets it, it can lead out into transition offense for them, and transition defense is going to be tricky, you know, down low. So I'm interested to see how we keep sort of maintaining that aggression.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something you have to be careful with. Anytime you turn over live ball, turnovers are terrible. I think also some credit to Jared Allen because he does a good job of finding space for guys, putting himself in a position where he can get the pass.
Definitely. I think Jared Allen, even when he isn't having the offensive impact, he still knows where to be. And I think that that's an awareness or just a general IQ is going to keep on increasing for him. But Nick, any other standouts for you in this, you know, absolutely gargantuan performance? It literally going through the entire plus minuses, plus 27 for D'Angelo Russell, our boy Rodion Skuritz, plus 21. What did he do well tonight?
You know, he started off a little bit slow, but then you just saw, you know, the regular Rodion things, you know, bringing the energy, getting in the fast break, getting in transition, cutting to the rim. There was one play, D'Angelo got in the paint. He kind of just slipped past the defense. D'Angelo hit him right under for a nice little lay-in. So Rodion's just kind of did his thing today, you know, just he's kind of developing, keeps kind of giving that little juice, like you mentioned, bringing that energy to the team. I thought Rondé had a really solid game early on too, attacking as well. That first quarter really set the tone though for the Nets. They dropped 44 points. They were just playing lights out. Atlanta looked like they were just, you know, a deer in the headlights in the first.
Yeah, I mean, you want to set the tone. We sort of talked about our worries with Matt, who was at the game, mind you, as well. Shout out to him. Shout out to our boy. We wanted to set the tone early and sort of, you know, make an impact. And obviously, the second quarter was a little bit of a worry. But any other? How was Rondé as well? Nice little box score for him as well. He continues his solid form and getting back to that consistency that we know and love from him.
Yeah, a lot of activity in the paint. A lot of his shots came in the paint, driving to the rim, you know, getting to the free throw line. That was one big factor for the Nets. I think they shot over 30 free throws. You know, it was Dinwiddie, it was Rondé, it was Joe Harris, just all the guys attacking the paint inside. Atlanta really didn't do a good job, and when they tried to recover, they were in bad position and ended up fouling. I think Jared Dudley actually had a nice game. He knocked down a couple threes. You know, he had a nice hesitation move on Herter out there that led to a lay-in. So not a bad game from Dudley, who catches a lot of hate on a regular basis.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Jared Dudley, Nick. I think, like you mentioned, he does catch a lot of hate, but I think he's been absolutely awesome for the franchise overall in terms of, you know, endearing himself to the fan base, you know, giving away the free tickets, you know, responding to, you know, just random tweets and such, and just being a really respected veteran and a guy that I think has made our organization better. Tell me, you know, what you've loved about Jared Dudley, not just from this game, but, you know, overall from this season, because I think he's sort of been an afterthought. He's been a whipping boy, you know, a sort of Quincy AC light, as Matt mentioned on the last episode. But Jared Dudley has been more than what we could have hoped for, surely.
Yeah, definitely. I think he has more in the tank than we expected. On the court, you know, knock down a couple threes, you know, bring that veteran presence out there, kind of understanding what to do. But like you said, off the court, I think talking to the media, you know, representing the Nets in a positive fashion, interacting with the fans, but also Spencer Dinwiddie after last game mentioned, you know, he was the guy that kind of hosted that player film meeting. And he kind of went through the film and told guys, you know, what they need to do and whatnot. So I think having a veteran like that has really helped. And the combination of him and Damari Carroll and Ed Davis has been huge for the Nets.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Funnily enough, Nick, I wanted to mention this to you as well as the fans, because we wouldn't make this mistake at OTG Basketball. But ESPN in their team stats has total turnovers that the Atlanta Hawks had 114 to the Nets 13. Now, surely that isn't the case.
No, it was not the case. If you check NBA.com, the Hawks had 14, the Nets had 13.
Added to one. Man, gosh.
Yeah, they added a one. But, you know, it was just not a great game from the Hawks. They did a couple guys knock down threes. I think that's what kept them in it. They shot 14 and 29. Guys like Dwayne Dedmon, I think, shoots 25% on the season, knocked down like three or four. So it's not like Atlanta was great or anything. They did knock down a couple threes to keep them in it. They had that big second quarter. But other than that, not very impressive performance from them.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit more about the offense overall for us, because, you know, Coach Kenny spoke about it after the game in terms of seeing that ball movement. What were some highlights for you? What sort of was it the first quarter that sort of set the tone for that initially?
Yeah, I think the first quarter set the tone. It was the ball moving. It was the player moving. It was constantly getting inside. We saw this a lot in the Wizards game. The Nets ended up taking a lot of shots in the paint right in front of the rim. You know, it wasn't even like there was a defender there, or if they were, you know, the Nets already got themselves in a position to make that shot. And then when they didn't, they ended up at the free throw line. So I think it was constantly just working inside out, ball movement, good screens, taking open shots, making that extra pass. I think the offense, like you said, Jack, is just really in sync, and it's just something fun to watch right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of outside people outside, you know, the Nets stratosphere always marvel at how the Nets play basketball, and they'll always enjoy watching them. I know Corey mentions it regularly on the outlet. I know my boy Nick Busing loves it from JVT. But in terms of the defense, Nick, there wasn't obviously a lot of defense played. But Coach Kenny did mention, you know, the fact that, you know, D'Angelo was active defensively. Was it just the fact that Atlanta were making shots, or was this just like a very modern game of basketball where it's just like no defense, you know, shots were just being made?
Yeah, I mean, there was, like I said, that second quarter, when you let Atlanta score 40-plus points, that's pretty bad. They kind of got lazy. They were scoring so well offensively where they didn't have to get locked in. You know, the pace was pretty high, but like I mentioned, Dwayne Dedmon, looking at the stats, 5 of 5 from 3. You know, they gave him all of those threes. That was in the scouting report to let him shoot. He's going to knock them down. There's not really a ton you're going to do about it. So I think some of it was that. There was other guys who were coming off the bench and trying to make a name for themselves, but most of the time when Atlanta got easy baskets, it was just because the Nets weren't putting in a ton of effort because, you know, they were scoring so easily on the other end. They were just like, does it really matter?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think some fans would be wanting us to chat about Mr. Jeremy Lin, Nicholas. How was his performance tonight against his old team?
Nothing special. Well, I think he might have got benched in the second half because he was so lazy defensively. There's a couple times, even in the first quarter, it's like he didn't play in the Nets the previous seasons. Well, I mean, he didn't play a ton of games, but he surely watched Joe Harris. There was one play where he just didn't put a ton of effort chasing Joe Harris off the screen. He got a wide open three in the first quarter. Not very impressed with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, I mean, we know why he was traded. He made some sort of not necessarily striking comments, but it was like, the message that he had was like, you know, I didn't want to be traded. You know, it was a surprise. This shouldn't have happened. I wanted to be in Brooklyn or whatever. But with a little more a bite to it than I would have expected. You know, he said that, you know, when Coach Kenny made the call, I believe that he was just surprised to hear it. But I think that we all know that we wish Jeremy Lin well. He's performed pretty well for Atlanta. I know you mentioned on a podcast with Alex Golden that, you know, he'd be a nice fit in plenty of other teams that are looking for sort of just a makeshift guard, just a backup guard. Got the teams like Phoenix, you know, there's plenty of them, even Orlando. So, you know, he hasn't had a horrible season, but, you know, if he was with us right now, we wouldn't be seeing, you know, the flourishing style of guys like D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, well, there's already plenty of talk about Dinwiddie and D'Lo not having enough room in the backcourt. Imagine adding Lin and his, you know, stance to the mix. I think there'd definitely be some issues. I know some Atlanta fans had mentioned in writers that Jeremy Lin has kind of struggled after an ankle injury, so maybe he's a little bit off because his numbers definitely looked a lot better, you know, going into the game. I think he's just maybe not super motivated playing to Atlanta. It gets tough after, you know, losing all these games and just playing a ton of guys that are outmatched every night.
Yeah. Now, one final thing, Nick, away from the game, so to speak. We heard the news that Trevion Graham has been recalled to the G League Long Island team. Do you expect to see him in the next few games suiting up for the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, I mean, we know the Nets love to work players back slowly, and there's no rush to add somebody to the mix right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give him plenty of time. You know, we don't see him for a few weeks, or maybe we don't see him to January, because the mix right now at the Nets is great. But Trevion will definitely give them some more toughness and defense, some nice energy and hustle plays too.
Yeah, it's a wealth of riches, you know, an embarrassment of riches that we spoke about in terms of our depth, that, you know, it's something that we could use to exploit against other teams that don't have that, you know, necessarily ready-made talent that can sort of just make an impact, make a good play, have that sort of composure, you know, just be able to do the right things whenever they're out on the court and not let their egos get involved. I think the Nets, it's going to be a real strength for us if we can stay healthy. And like you mentioned on The Outlet, which I suggest everyone also subscribe to on iTunes, the Nets are going to get Caris LeVert back at some stage. And when that happens, you know, obviously, you know, we hope D'Angelo Russell's at his peak, then Spencer Dinwiddie's at his peak. But you add in who, you know, I think a lot of people would say is our best player as well, then it's only going to get better. So I think it's, things are on the up, but, you know, the next step is the Lakers, I believe.
Yes.
So
the Lakers and the Bulls, and we got a back-to-back. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle a back-to-back after some success. But I also just want to give one quick shout-out to Ed Davis, who I forgot to mention before. Had a very nice game, 10 rebounds. We also saw him get up for a couple dunks, threw in 5 assists too. So Ed Davis played more minutes than Jared Allen, who dealt with foul trouble today. Very impressive thing, adding to that depth, adding to that toughness talk. But, Jack, what do you think is going to happen in this upcoming back-to-back with Chicago and L.A.?
There's a part of me that's a little bit worried, Nick, because I know how – poorly we have performed notoriously over the past few years on back-to-backs. I just want to see, you know, the consistency that we have shown. You know, that second quarter, you know, I guess you could call an aberration. I'm going to watch the game as soon as we're off here. But at the same time, you can't have those lapses against a team of the quality of the Lakers. You know, you could easily say they are the second best team in the Western Conference right now. You know, Golden State are head and shoulders above everyone else, but everything under that, you know, who knows? So I think we're really going to have our A game on. You know, the Bulls are starting to play some decent basketball, that nice little win against San Antonio. So it's not going to be easy. I think we are a better team than Chicago by far and away. But we need to be able to, because on any given day, you know, any team can beat, you know, another in the NBA. So we need to just take each game, each quarter as it comes and sort of let it play out. But, you know, if we can play the way that we did, we're going to need to tune up the defense a little bit, because the Lakers, you know, they love to run as well. And our transition defense is really going to need to be on. So it'll be fascinating to watch. You know, LeBron James is going to do his thing. But what is the support going to be like? Lonzo's feeling himself now. I'm very intrigued to watch the... We always love watching D'Angelo against his old team. Yes. I think that's always a general storyline. But Lonzo versus D'Angelo is certainly going to be one to watch. I think D'Lo, with some momentum now, hopefully that bodes well for him.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And the last back-to-back was probably the most successful one in years. And that was against Toronto and New York. So now going against two other major cities in L.A. and Chicago, it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back. And it's going to be almost a similar kind of thing where L.A.'s a top team in the West. Chicago's one of the bottom feeders. But can you take care of business and beat both teams? You know, L.A. just played a bad game against Washington, so I'm sure they're going to be motivated. Also probably spending a night in New York City, so maybe the Nets could capitalize on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Bronny's taking them out to some cool wine bars or something like that. We can only hope. But Nick, any final thoughts before we end this one?
I mean, I think I just want to say how good it feels to have the Nets on a 5-game winning streak, and things are looking so positive for the team. And I know the fan base is extremely happy. And the fact is the team is coming together and they're gelling. And I think it's finally starting to come together what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson really expected.
Yeah, I think Anthony Puccio tweeted out a couple of days ago when we had that 4-game winning streak, that the last time that happened, we did make the playoffs. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it was the 38-44 season. So
that's right. That's right. Who knows? I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, the Eastern Conference is an absolute shit show, as is the Western Conference, but for different ways. But, you know, I think the Nets are really starting to get motivated, find their groove on the offensive end. You know, like you mentioned, I'm going to be fascinated to see how we sort of stay around that range. If we can stay 20th or above in defensive rating, I think that we do probably make the playoffs. But the net rating and how bad we are defensively, because our offense almost seems to be taking care of itself when we have guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, and the scheme that Coach Kenny implements. I think it's defensively where we're going to have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and that's where I think getting Caris LeVert back is going to make a big difference, even the addition of Trevion Graham. And you mentioned the NBA outlet before. My co-host Corey Waldron actually picked the Nets to squeeze into the playoffs in that 8 seed. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, he's speaking into existence. We appreciate our boy K-Wall.
Yeah, I told him he'd get a better Christmas gift now. But, yeah, any thoughts on you, Jack? Any final things about the Nets or the upcoming games?
I'm enjoying it, Nick. Each game as it comes, you know, make sure, you know, always following the different spots. I'm going to be putting out some different player threads as well. I think most people are clamoring for a D'Angelo Russell one. So I'm going to put that one out in a space of a few hours. So for all our American listeners, when you wake up tomorrow, be sure to check me out at the J-Man JBT.
Yeah, for sure. Jack has been posting great threads. If you're looking for videos during the game, you can follow me at OTG Nick. And for all types of NBA content, follow OTG Basketball. But Jack, that wraps it up. As always, thank everybody for listening. Check us out. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, YouTube, and Dash Radio.